Hi guys, it's Keaton here for the Castathetic Podcast. I want to remind you to please use the Amazon banner link at the top of our website at castathetic.com for all of your online shopping needs. It costs you nothing extra, and the show gets a percentage of all the sales. Please, bookmark it. And now, on to the show. Welcome to another episode of Castathetic. I'm your host, Keaton, and guess what? Montezuma's done with his revenge. No more Montezuma's revenge. Montezuma only has a gift for you, and that gift is the Aztec Sun. So here they are, Aztec Sun, with their song, Heroes and Villains.
Thank you.
back. So let's get to know these guys. There's a lot of them. So let's introduce everybody. We'll just go around.
My name is Ray Lamb, and I play drums.
My name is Ketch, and I play the keyboard.
My name is Ryan, and I play drums.
My name is John. I play drums.
My name is Adam, and I play the drums.
My name is Stu. I play the bongos.
My name is Shane, and I play the drums.
My name is Michael. I play the didgeridoo.
My name is Steph, and I also play the drums.
And they get all that amazing sound out of just rhythms. You can do it too in five easy steps. So my first question, that set you guys played tonight, it was a very seductive set. Now in your live shows, how much seduction is going on during those shows on a scale of 1 to 12?
Let me put it this way. We used to have this running tally of the number of couples that would start at our shows and the number of couples that would end after not coming to our shows anymore. So there's a lot of seduction that goes on.
Good. So
12.
Multiple.
I had to put a number on it.
Multiple.
So what's the history behind Aztec Sun? How'd you guys form up?
Okay. So Aztec Sun was, it started as four guys like 4 years ago, joining up on Craigslist, answering ads to jam. And then it started from a four piece. And then after people cycled in and out of the city, we ended up with eight musicians plus one lovely manager and expanded our sound. Well, one manager currently, another manager who's moved on to our long distance managing. So
a manager and an assistant manager.
Co-man.
Yeah. Co-man.
This isn't a Books a Million.
No. Bam.
So I'm not very well versed in the funk scene around here. What's it like? How many funk bands are out there in DC?
Well, you're talking to the funkiest.
That's for sure. I mean, there's a lot of different like genres within funk, I guess, you know. Like, I mean, go-go can be considered pretty funk, and there is a ton of great go-go bands.
That's probably what the city is most known for in terms of the funk. So a lot of people like Blackout Band or
Rare Essence.
Backyard Band.
Yeah.
Chuck Brown is from DC.
Hells yeah.
Yeah.
I would say though, we are a funk band, but we're funk with soul, and that's kind of the brand that we like to put into people's head, is that even if you're not familiar with funk, there's gonna be an element of sound, whether that's jazz or soul or blues, that will draw you into the music, and then we'll hit you with that funk beat and you'll come out a funk fan.
I'm a funk fan already just from you guys. I was a little bit before. I knew the big guys, but now I got to go to more shows.
Now you know the huge guys.
Yeah. Who would you guys say are probably some of your big influencers in your particular style?
I'm going to jump in and say Rafael Sadiq is mine.
I think we all have like so many influences that we bring to the group, like when we're writing stuff. So it's not really, there'd just be too many to list them all, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if we've ever actually really talked about like as a band who we are all influenced by and like who we want to sound like. It's been more of a mixing of our own like personal styles and influences, and like I come from more of a jazz background and a blues background, and like mixing that with what these other guys bring to the table, and that's kind of how we've created the sound that we have.
Now, speaking of your songwriting, is it a very collaborative effort? Like, you guys just get together, jam, flesh something out? Or do you have one person that kind of goes off on their own, writes something, brings it to the group, goes, hey, this sounds cool, let's play with it?
I feel like it's a combination of both of those. Sometimes someone will bring something in, and this is their vision, and it will either be seen out that way, or, you know, everyone will throw something in, and then it's like, it kind of changes, you know. And
we've also had situations where we've written as a group, the song is born out of a jam that's entirely organic or just a way for us to warm up, and then we're like, you know what, let's bring that back and flesh it out.
We also change things a lot. Like, I've been in the band for more than 2 years now, and there aren't a lot of songs that we've been playing that whole time that we're doing the same as when we started them, so things will kind of morph and change over time, especially as we've added people and people have gone away. So we're kind of always like always writing and rewriting even the songs that we've been playing for a long time.
Any of the songs tonight start out as something else, have now completely evolved into something else?
I'd say My Way Home. Yeah. So we usually try to do this like a retreat, because there are 8 of us. So it's, you know, we try to, since there's so many schedules, try to block out a weekend where we go away to like a quote unquote cabin and we write. And My Way Home, I think, started as Catch, Mike, Shane, and our old drummer just kind of jamming in the kitchen. And they had come up with this riff and they had come up with the horn line. And then the rest of us arrived and we really locked into it. And over the years, you know, like Ryan was saying, with the time we've played, it's come kind of become this like gospel-y kind of motivational song for us. So that was one that transformed.
Well, and even Heroes and Villains, which we play today, is that started as like something in your head, Steph. And like that was, you had like an idea for the, I think the bass line is mostly what has stayed from that like original idea. Like we've tweaked everything around that, and you brought that in, and then it became something else like entirely since then.
But I think it is important to note that like Steph does write, I'd say we'd all agree, the majority of the material. But like not definitely, there's like great stuff that everyone has brought to the table. So it is a collaborative process, but it's also like, you know, individuals in the band do write more than others.
Now, one thing I want to touch on, because I really dug deep and I did some hard-hitting journalism and I went to Twitter, saw the Twitter feed. You guys played Democracy Awakening.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That's, yes, anyone get arrested? Anyone get truncheon in by
thousands
the
of people
cops?
Did.
We were hoping Schlatter would.
Real, real funny about Democracy Awakening is that I worked full time for like a couple months to make that event happen. And then we, as part of my, just like my day job. And then we got asked to perform, like, and it had nothing to do with me. And it wasn't through me at all. Like, I think someone talked to
it's
you,
John.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. and so we had booked it. And I heard from like my coworkers before I knew that we had like officially booked it through us, which was hilarious to me, but it was cool.
It was really cool. It was really cool to be able to play music in support of a cause that I think all of us really believe in.
I think it's worth noting that it was not our first political concert, as we did play at Bernie Sanders' rally. When was that?
Oh, the Medicare
you played
50.
At a Nurses United rally.
Well, it was amazing. Bernie Sanders just happened to be there.
Yeah.
Well, Bernie Sanders just showed up.
Yeah. That was John, and it turned into a Bernie. Like,
John has
right
a really cool
Bernie?
Picture with Bernie.
Yeah, they all cheered for you. Only yeah. it was Bernie.
I thought it was me. I didn't see him behind me.
Did you wave?
Yeah.
You didn't wave at the burn?
You didn't feel the burn?
He wasn't burning up at that point. Yeah,
but it was warm out that day.
Didn't get
it was
fever.
More like irritated before it was like burning.
Got it.
All right.
Oh, man.
But we feel the burn. Oh, how can you not how anymore not? Nowadays? I don't want to officially endorse anyone, but it's hot in here.
Endorse Aztec Sun.
All right. Let's move on to 5 questions. So get your thinking caps on, because you don't know what I'm going to ask, but you didn't know what I was going to ask anyway. So cue the music. It's 5 questions. 5 worst gig you ever had.
What about the
individually or
as Aztec Sun?
What about the, I mean, are we talking like, what are the criteria here?
Just worst gig? Whatever you think was
Mike's
the worst
got
gig.
Some ideas.
Go for it. Go for it, Mike.
I don't know, man. Some of those, like, I'm not going to name venues here.
Okay. I nominate Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yes. Philly was the worst.
Yeah. Philly. Sorry, sure. Philly, if you're listening.
Not like the whole city of Philadelphia.
We love you,
this,
Philly, but
this
not
show.
In
I think,
this
yeah,
particular
we, that
shit
we were
crazy. Crazy.
Okay, we were we tried to organize a gig through a contact who had sat in with us on bass, and it became very apparent as we were driving from a gig in New York to Philly that nothing was set up. And when we got to the venue wasn't even aware that we were coming, and so there was no promotion, no anything. And it wasn't really a venue, it was a more
there
of
was
a
also place. Like there was no another, air conditioning.
Well, yeah, no, and there was another event going on
before. And so we couldn't play, we couldn't really like sound check, and when we ended up, you know, playing, it was just like to the people we had brought on the bus with us, or to like the handful of people who were friends of ours in Philly. So that was probably.
We also thought that we had some amps, and we had to wait till show next to us finished to ask them to borrow their amps because we
didn't have them.
We thought we had a backline.
But yeah, that was so probably
that was pretty bad.
Especially because we were tired. I mean, that was the first time we'd like, you know, gone out and toured and done the whole bus thing, and so that was a pretty difficult experience.
But we played in New York the night before, and that was really, really awesome. So it was like one high to the low.
The worst equipment malfunction you had during a gig?
Reefers Union.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
Reefers Union. No, it wasn't the venue's fault. We had to bring our own PA. And again, this band has been around for 4 years, and it's been, you know, many iterations of the band. So the PA that we had initially has been to many places, and so this PA just decided to kick the bucket in the middle of a gig, and that meant that the horns and did you have your amp catch at that time? So the horns, the keys, and the vocals were just kept cutting out, and we were, you know, set to play like a 3-hour set, so it was kind of a difficult.
Now, did it like you lose it at the beginning of the set, or was it?
It was cutting in and out of the beginning of the set.
Yeah. It just kind of like would work for a few minutes, and then it would just stop working.
That's a damn shame.
And actually, that happened to us two weeks ago.
We stupidly tried to use it again without testing it
at a different gig.
I don't know how we fixed that. Did we fix that, or did it just?
I think we just like kind of wiggled something and it started working.
It's all about the wiggle. It's all about the wiggle.
I think we found one input that worked,
and
we just used the one input
per usual to whatever was going on.
All right, the dirtiest or scariest place you stayed while on tour?
Probably my bed.
It was pretty dirty and scary, I've heard.
I agree.
From multiple sources.
That was
all around good tours, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Yeah, we're just starting to get on that tour train. So we've had some great experiences thus far. Maybe you ask us in a few months, we'll have another answer for you.
Oh, there'll be a haunted mansion you'll stay in.
Oh, for sure.
Guaranteed.
I hope so.
All right. The closest you've come to quitting music?
This podcast.
Don't do that.
No.
I'm kidding. You can edit that out.
I quit piano when I was 15. Yeah. But then I realized back in college, we had a grand piano in our freshman dorm floor. That's how I could meet the ladies. And so I started learning some Counting Crows songs and Dave Matthews. And then I slowly started getting back into the piano. And then I moved on to the Motown.
Is that why you always play with your shoes off, just so you can make a quick exit?
No, that's
I'm already there.
I almost quit a bunch of times. My dad's a music teacher, and even though I completely chose to start playing music, I always thought that it would be like an act of rebellion against him if I quit. But I never actually had a reason to do that, so I never really did. But I always was like, if I ever need to stick it to my dad, like, I'll just quit this thing that I like doing for myself.
I'll show him. I don't remember any time of being close to wanting to quit.
Yep. It's in your blood.
I don't know if it's in my blood, but it is now.
You might want to get tested.
I don't think I ever like thought about quitting. I did switch instruments a lot when I was a kid. So I grew up playing violin starting at like age 3, and then I became an angsty middle schooler that wanted to play, you know, Silver Chair and Operation Ivy guitar.
Yeah.
So I switched to electric guitar, but I also started playing trumpet, and that's been doing that ever since.
Stu?
I mean, for me, honestly, though, the most that I've gotten out of music in general is writing. I think that's the most creative release that I can get through music, just lyrics.
And he still can write today. It's incredible. He's never quit. We're really proud of you, Stu. You can still write.
Thanks, man.
That was so genuine.
I wouldn't say I've ever like considered quitting music, but I've taken very long hiatuses from playing, like year or two at a time when I haven't been like playing with a group or whatever, and then I kind of get the hankering to get back into it, and you know, kind of ebbs and flows, and here I am now.
I've never really considered quitting, so
Well, I right before the biggest iteration of the band started, the old drummer and guitarist, who were half the band at the time, had just moved from DC, and so that was sort of a turning point. I almost didn't try to bring more people onto the project, and then with the old bassist, we decided that we did really like what we were doing, and so we just started reaching out to people and jamming with others, and that's how we met Catch and Ryan, and then eventually Mike, and just kind of built it again. So that was kind of the closest I came recently.
All right. Well, the last question, to, you know, bring us up from these negative questions. They're not
negative,
but
they're great. Those are your questions, dog. Those are your questions.
All right. The best memory you guys have together as a band?
This podcast.
Oh, man. That's a rare. I think probably playing Howard Theater. I mean, we played Howard Theater. It was sold out, and it was just a great time. Like, people were really, really digging it. Maybe we played a private event, so people didn't have to like it, but they were really digging it. It was just really fun.
So just back-to-back good shows?
Yeah. Every show's a good show.
Every show.
Well.
Except for when PA's cut out. No, nah, they're still
killed
good.
It.
I thought that show was still fun.
Yeah.
My godparents were there.
All right. Well, we got another song for you guys out there listening in the interwebs. Here it is, Confuse Me by Aztec Sun.
Hands until the sun sets. stop until we're kissing in the street together. I will be chasing for your heart and soul.
Guys really enjoyed Confuse Me. Like, I don't think you guys listening out there realize that nobody could sit down in that control room while listening to these guys. We had to dance. It was awesome. And, you know, normally we sit down, we get tired. So let's promote some stuff coming up here. You guys got any shows coming out, any albums coming out, EPs, what have you?
So this podcast was actually our last show. This is our last one.
Last? No.
Some artists take like really long extended farewell tours, and we did this.
So <we're>, last show of the month, for sure.
The last show of the month. Yeah, is it actually? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Oh, that's good. Last show of the month. Yeah. We've done like, what, five, four, something like that, and locally.
Next show is Funk Parade, May 7th at DC 9, 8 p.m.
Something like that.
Yeah, we're shutting down the parade, so it's in the evening.
Yeah.
But definitely come check out the whole parade because it's going to be bomb. We've been in it the last 2 years as well, not in the closing slot, but throughout. And it is a wonderful, wonderful event that makes DC a far more interesting place to live.
Yeah. And it's free for the public. Mm-hmm. So,
a lot of good bands.
Funk Parade. All right. Now I got a whole bunch of stuff. So you guys get your pens and papers out because we're not typing this up, we're writing it down. Put it on your calendar. All right. First off, open mics, go to them. They're awesome. You can check out so many musicians and bands that are playing shit that you normally don't hear on albums or at their regular shows. Couple good ones are Monday night and Thursday night at Epicure Cafe. And then there's a really good one Tuesday night at Philadelphia Tavern in Manassas. Now on to shows coming out. There's a lot of stuff April 29th, so I'm going to list them off. At Epicure, RAR on the rooftop with Charlie Bear Quartet is going on. Then at McMannan's in Warrenton, the Dust Whales are playing. At the Black Cat, Hello Dharma, Little War Twins, and Alex Van's Bad Business. At Roadside Grill, Dr. Robinson's Fiasco and Yum are playing, and that's all on April 29th, so good luck finding one to go to, if not all of them. Then, April 30th, at Backyard Grill, the Dust Whales and Vico Cycle, either or, they don't phonetically spell this stuff for me. May 8th at Iota, Eddie Faulkner is having his EP release. Then May 16th at Velvet Lounge, Calamar, Calm the Waters, Cat Janice and Better Homes are playing. May 26th at the Bourbon Room in Fredericksburg, Red Sword is playing. Then July 16th, the Cataclysmic Bacon Fest, the 3rd at Art Mart is going to be awesome. And then, last but not least, the festival I wait for every year, and you probably wait for it because there are a lot of listeners that attend this festival. Untitled Music Festival out in beautiful Newcastle, Virginia. If you're listening and you have a band, a project, submit now because they're going to be closing submissions soon. It's 3 days out in the country. You're cut off from the rest of the world and it's apocalypto. But that's all the shows I have to tell you guys about. We got one more song for you guys that this incredible band's played. It's called My Way Home. Do you guys have anything you want to say about it? Any cool stories behind it?
You got to give it a little bit.
Actually, My Way Home, the lyrics, I think it started with Mike, because he wrote part of what became the second verse about, like, because I think you were talking about, like, being stuck in traffic and sort of the angst around that. And then I when I wrote the lyrics, I was trying to channel that part in the second part. So, like, kind of frustration with life or in where you were and feeling stuck. But then I think the whole message of the song is feeling like no matter how stuck you are right now, you know that you're on a path. You're going to figure out what comes next.
That's beautiful. I think that resonates with a lot of people. Well done. Well put. That was exactly what I had gotten from it when I was listening to you guys play it. So here it is for you guys. It's My Way Home. This was Aztec Sun. Go check out their Bandcamp, their Facebook, any social media out there.
Like us on Facebook.
Big thanks to Ken Barnum and Chris Harris for helping us out, and Mark Ryder for all the work that everybody does on this show. They record it, they mix it, they shoot fireballs, they ride mythical beasts into sunsets. Big thank you to Bias Studios for having us.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely facilities. Check them out if you're on the internet, which who isn't if you're listening to this? You can't really get it anywhere else.
Very true.
This, I'm Keaton Buse. This was Aztec Sun, and this song is My Way Home. Have a great couple weeks.
Searching.